Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night. It goes on and on and on and on.
What we are looking at is there is excess of about $38 million from LOST dollars that have not been allocated. So we're not taking away from other projects. But we do have that money to spend, and I would like to ask the board to consider spending that on making sure that everyone in our community receives the fire services that they need, and that the people who have been impacted in our community with higher homeowners insurance because of stations moving or closing, that we can help alleviate some of that.
This is Ashley Hoffberger, Commissioner District 4, pitching the Escambia County Commission last Thursday during the Committee of the Whole meeting. That's the morning meeting where it's a non-voting meeting. It's just a, you know, present information and form opinions and then talk to each other and, you know, predict how we're going to vote, because they can't do that under the Sunshine Law. So she says, hey, we've got unallocated local option sales tax money in, you know, about $38 million. Let's build some fire stations. For example, on Lillian Highway.
Investing in safety. So the working with Chief Harrison, what we have identified as the top priority stations would be a replacement on the station located on Lillian Highway. That one's old. I know that you're very familiar with some of the issues they've been having there.
That's a good one also.
A new fire station on Highway 97 and Kingsfield Road. There are several communities in that area that are more than 5 miles away from a fire station, so their homeowners insurance is 30 to 60% more than what it would be if they were located closer to a fire station. And that area is growing exponentially. It's a beautiful place to live, and more people are moving there.
Yep, that's, you definitely need one up there. When you're north of 9 Mile, there just aren't that very many stations. There's, you know, just there really aren't that many. And so having one up Kingsfield 97, that makes perfect sense.
Paradise Beach, which we have recently lost a station there, and some of the people in that area are also suffering higher homeowners insurance rates because they don't have a station close enough to them.
That's exactly right. That's the one that we keep hearing about, that Brunson Field property that they're working on the Navy with, which is a, I hope it works, but we've been, I hope it works in for several years now. Would there be a backup plan? I don't know that, you know, Wes Morano told us last Thursday that it's almost there. Steve Stroberger says he thinks it's almost there. I almost in the Navy and almost in the regular people don't mean the same thing. You know, almost in the Navy means this decade, you know, and I love the Navy, but that's Navy speed. Almost in regular people's terms is like 3 months, 6 months, you know, something like that. So another one.
And then Gulf Beach Highway is one of our older stations. It's very, very ran down. It was never meant to be a fire station to begin with. There's a lot of rehab that needs to happen there. Potentially, I think what they're looking at is leveling that and starting from scratch, just because it is so outdated.
Yep, and then the fifth one she wants to fund.
And then White Ash Road right now is just where we have trucks stored. And from what I understand, that has been responded by volunteer firefighters, and that upon reinspection for our ISO, which is where all the ratings come from, if that station is not operable, some folks in that area will also be experiencing higher insurance costs as well. Additionally, that area is growing.
Yeah, that's another one up 97. And so I'll tell you what I kind of respect about this plan is there's something for everybody. Like, you know, and actually, I don't think any of those, I'm just looking over the list again, none of those are in her district. You know, so this is the District 4 commissioner proposing 5 either new or refurbishing existing fire stations, none of which are in District 4. Now, of course, you simultaneously have this conversation going on, which we're not going to cover today. I'll cover it tomorrow, about the MSBU and the funding for the fire service. And there's a big fight over whether the beach should have to pay more or not, and whether the beach has better services or not. And, you know, so this is sort of strategically smart. If you come forward with a spending program that you are proposing that you're on board with, and she campaigned on you know, emergency response public service, EMS more than fire, but both are definitely things she campaigned on. And so this is coming forward with a program to spend county money on these five new fire stations. Meanwhile, we're talking about, you know, what to do with the funding for the whole fire service itself for the regular funding as opposed to the local option sales tax funding. Regular funding meaning that it comes out of the MSBU or comes out of the municipal services benefit unit, the special tax you property tax you pay for fire service, or the general fund if it's, it goes over, which it has been for the last several years.
These are kind of the needs that I have identified, looking at top level, like worst case scenario, $34 million for all of those. That would also include the demo of the stations that is needed. So you're looking at about $6.8 million per station.
Yeah, that's a very for the growth that we're seeing in this county and for the ongoing repair and upkeep of neglected infrastructure, that's a perfectly legitimate, normal use of local option sales tax money. It strikes me as a little pricey, but fire stations are expensive. Now, I know Wes Moreno had been talking previously about the one on Paradise Beach, particularly being like a manufactured building, you know, as a way to save money. I don't know if that's still in the works or not. I mean, fire stations are expensive. Just there's no way around it. Not really. And you have to have them, right? You can't just, it's not like an ambulance where they can just be a truck parked in a parking lot waiting for a call. Like it just doesn't work that way for fire service.
I think the conversation is worth moving forward. Again, you know, with a timeline for an RFP going out June 1, I think that's probably very aggressive. But if the gist of it is you're looking for general levels of support and the opportunity to move the ideas, you know, idea or combined ideas forward, that's, I'm good with that.
Yeah. So Stephen Berry says okay. That's his way of saying okay. We'll come back to this in just a second, what the other commissioners said. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
We are still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody asked the question, $6.8 million, does that include equipment or is that just for the building? No, that's the building. I think we have the equipment, actually. They've been buying fire trucks. And some of them, like it's the two that they're going to, you know, remodel or demolish and rebuild or whatever it is, those already have trucks. And the one that they're going to build, the one on White Ash, already has trucks also. So you don't have to spend for the engines. And the engines, you're not wrong, are very, very expensive. We have been buying extra engines over the last couple of years, even though I thought there were a couple of times the commission did not do enough in this regard. There was one famous example where they bought one instead of buying two, and it was a sweet deal on buying two, and Stephen Berry was on the wrong side of that vote, I thought, at the time. But, you know, they actually have been acquiring equipment, you know, fairly aggressively over the last several years. But then again, you also have equipment has to replace old equipment, too. So it's not like we're necessarily up a lot of pieces of material. It's just that, you know, it has had to happen. But so I think the answer is they have all the trucks it would take in order to stock these firehouses because, yeah, the trucks themselves are very expensive. Steve Stroberger, District 1.
Yeah, so this is one of the most important things we can do. I share the same passion everyone else does, in particular with Commissioner Hoffberger, the importance of this.
Yeah, and then the question about that Paradise Beach location that they're working on the Navy with.
Now, we're in the process, very, very close. We're getting close every day to acquiring the property over there in Bronson Field, about 5 acres. And we have the fire truck, right? We have a fire truck. We have the equipment. We're training the personnel. But insurance rates have gone up, and this isn't an exaggeration, 350% annually for some folks. A friend of mine, Gil, was there at the town hall, and he talked about his insurance rate going up from roughly $2,000 to, you know, $55,000, $6,000 a year. And then he's also got property out there. He pays the same MSBU I pay, and I live 3 miles away from the firehouse. And he doesn't. The same firehouse that services my neighborhood services Gil's neighborhood. I don't know why we've neglected it this long.
And that's correct. I don't know why we've neglected this so long. It is a grand problem. I mean, it's a really complicated problem to figure out the right way to charge people for the fire service protection that they get. I'm going to have to, when we talk about this tomorrow, I'll spend a lot of time explaining this because it's a really complicated problem. But one of the basic challenges is that people who get worse service right now pay the same as people who get better service. But the people who get worse service, response time. They live too far from a fire station. But the problem is that fixing that would be very expensive. So do you make the people who are currently getting worse service pay extra in order to get the good service? And then also, if you have bad service right now or inferior service, you pay more in insurance. So you kind of get it on both ends. You pay more for insurance because the service is slow and they're less likely to save your house from a fire just because of a distance. And also you have the higher risk of being in a fire, you know, of having a fire be catastrophic for you. So, yeah, no, it's a very complicated problem to figure out the right way to fund fire protection. But like I said, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Anyway, this is a good move. This is the county spending local option sales tax on, you know, building fire stations in places where they either need to be remodeled and refurbished or where they need to have new ones. And good. I mean, good. This is how this money is supposed to be spent. You know, when you wonder how local option sales tax money gets spent, that's what we voted in the penny to fund infrastructure. This is exactly what it's for. And I know in the city of Pensacola, they put the little signs on the side of the fire engine, this engine bought by local option sales tax, and sometimes you see it on roads, this road repaved with local option sales tax, you know, this mower paid with, you know, you can only use it for stuff. You can't use it to pay people. You can only use it for infrastructure, for stuff, and this is a good use for stuff. 620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a company and you have employees and you obviously want to take as good of a care of those employees as you possibly can, because if you don't, well, you know, they'll go, but also just because you're a good person, you want to take care of them. Torgerson Causey, they will handle all of your employee benefits, and they'll help you make sure that your folks get the best possible things. That's health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, managing HR, doing payroll. We have been using them here at Cat Country and News Radio for about 4 years, and they've been great. Now, they're not miracle workers. They cannot make insurance companies provide outstanding plans like we used to be able to buy 15 or 20 years ago. But, you know, they will find the best ones that are available. And that's all you really can ask, is they'll find the best ones. And then they'll give you choices. And every year we have choices of what we can do. And I have confidence that they're the best plans that are available. And I have confidence that they will be able to answer my questions or my wife's questions. And she's a very detailed person. She's an industrial engineer by trade. She asks questions. And most of the time, insurance people don't have great answers, but the folks at Torgerson Causey are detail-oriented in the best possible way, and they'll make sure that you get what you need. 20 years helping local businesses solve these issues and, you know, make your employees happy. 433-9996 for a no-obligation overview to look at what you're doing and see if there's a better way to do it. Look them up online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Good morning, 624 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we're talking about the fire stations that the Escambia County Commission is now tentatively funded. It was a committee of the whole. It wasn't a final decision. But still, for, you know, around $36 million to fund five either new or refurbished stations, good use of the local option sales tax money. It's exactly what it's there for. Somebody says, why don't we, you know, coordinate with developers so that we build fire stations where they're doing development? Oh, you mean like concurrency? You know, where we make a plan for how we want to develop this part of town, and then we put in roads and sewers, and we run the power lines, and or we have them run, and then we also put in schools, and we put in fire stations. Concurrency is what you're talking about. Like, gosh, yeah, I know. Why not? But I'm not joking. I'm being serious. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. Instead of, well, people have land and they're building it, and let's just kind of wait and see what happens. And then once everybody starts to complain enough and there's traffic problems, now we'll come in after the traffic exists and we'll fix the roads, ish. Or, you know, like, now we'll build a school, or now we'll build a fire station. Yeah, I mean, it's such a backward way to do everything. But there's one part of this that is worth thinking about a little bit. And that is there not a way to incentivize development within the 5-mile radius of a fire station? Because that's kind of the general benchmark, is if you're within 5 miles, then, you know, that's the better ISO rating. So we would prefer, as a county and as firefighters and as people who want people not to die, we would prefer everybody build houses within 5 miles of a fire station, because response time is everything. Is there a way to incentivize that? Is there a way to push infill, basically? Because what we get now is sprawl, right? We have people turning all this agricultural land into houses away from the fire stations, and then everybody complains that we don't have fire stations, then we have to build fires. Like, it's a, everything's wrong about that plan. So what could we do to incentivize people to build where there's already the infrastructure that they need, including fire stations, which is more densely around, you know, the District 3 kind of core south of 9 Mile and not on either side of the county? John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98, and 29 are normal trouble spots, are running delay-free right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning. I do have our headlines here. I'm on the wrong screen, though. I apologize for that. Canada's newly elected Prime Minister Mark Carney is paying a visit to the White House today. He's meeting with President Trump, that meeting coming in the wake of the tariffs that have been imposed on Canada and the president's proposal for the nation to merge with the U.S.
You said it wrong. In the wake of the most beautiful, bestest, smartest, well-designed tariffs that ever have been. Oh, sorry. Maybe that wasn't part of your copy. My mistake.
You know, it's okay. let's see here. Hollywood's top studios seeing some big stock price drops after President Trump vowed to implement 100% tariffs on movies made in foreign lands. Netflix, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Disney all saw big stock drops on Monday, but they did recover a little bit towards the end of the day.
This is one of the, and how do you implement that exactly when a movie is filmed in New Zealand and edited in London and marketed out of Hollywood? And
it's kind of bizarre, yeah.
No, seriously, like the actual how to do this question is nowhere close to being solved, even if he puts out an executive order. It's mind-boggling. And we are a net exporter of films. We do not have a trade imbalance on films. The world buys film from us rather than us buying films from... It's... Go on. Second, third story. Go on. Too much Trump talk.
Well, let's find something non-Trump-like then. How about this? Ford is holding off on its 2025 financial outlook. Oh, no. Thanks to new tariffs. I'm sorry. He's all the news.
He's got 83 fingers, and they're in every single pie there is.
I mean, I'm just looking for a Trump reference in the Salmonella story, and it's probably in there, too. So
that's
the
chickens we didn't kill in the response to bird flu or something. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Okay. All right. David, thanks so much for the update. And scene. the issue of the... It's a national security issue, he said yesterday. National security issue that we aren't making as many movies in the United States anymore. How is that again? How is that a national security issue? It's just, it's bizarre. And we are a net exporter of movies to the tune of billions of dollars every single year. It's, let's see. Yeah, we have a $15 billion trade surplus on movies. So sure, tariff that. What? If anything, that's more likely to incentivize other countries to tariff us because we're actually doing well at the movie business. Cool. we'll talk to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County, coming up next. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Responding to President Trump's demand for tariffs on films made outside the U.S., California Governor Gavin Newsom suggests a federal film tax credit to support American production.
There are a lot of questions to how a tariff on foreign-produced films would work in practice and how a foreign-produced film would be defined, but it does highlight a reality. Many film and TV productions are moving overseas. Countries all around the world now offer tax credits as high as 35%, and this is luring productions away from the U.S.
Fox's Max Gordon. Germany was supposed to have a new leader sworn in today.
Friedrich Merz was expected to have a smooth passage to the post of Germany's next chancellor, but Merz fell 6 short in the parliamentary vote that would have confirmed him. It's the first time this has happened since the Second World War.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. About 30 pro-Palestinian protesters were arrested at the University of Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 67 degrees and partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. District 2 Representative Alex Andrade criticizing Governor DeSantis yesterday after the governor called on the University of West Florida to return $800,000 in federal grant funding. The school had been awarded that money in 2017 to implement social justice and math and science curriculums. Governor DeSantis said no Florida college or university should be focused on social justice or woke ideology over classical education. UWF, though, denying that the money is being used to push either social justice or DEI. Representative Andrade said that he passed the ban on DEI in higher ed, but he believes the DeSantis administration has become an embarrassment with its implementation. Now, the Escambia Sheriff's Office says a man in a stolen vehicle led deputies on a chase and eventually crashed into a pole last night. The chase started on Navy Boulevard, ended on South Fairfield Drive, where the suspect crashed. Deputies say no other cars were involved. Nobody was hurt. The suspect, though, was taken to the hospital as a precaution and then arrested. The crash temporarily knocked out some traffic lights in the area. As Florida's new District 1 congressman settles into Washington, D.C., he's currently serving on two committees, the Transportation and Infrastructure and Small Business Committees.
There's a lot of juice on both of those two committees. Like with the Transportation and Infrastructure, I've got oversight over the airlines, roads, bridges, Coast Guard. So, you know, we're putting a lot of emphasis into upgrading our air traffic control system and also bolstering the Coast Guard.
Petronas tells News Radio that he had planned on serving on the House Armed Services Committee as our district's congressional representative had for several years, but his pathway to that committee involved New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik being appointed as ambassador to the UN. At the last minute, though, her nomination was pulled back. The Republican Party believed she was needed more in Congress and possibly to run for the governor of New York in the future. Well, the Fort Walton Beach Police Department is dealing with a hefty amount of reckless drivers in school zones. And Austin Price has a report for
During their 30-day warning period in April, the Fort Walton Beach Police Department reported not one, not two, but over 3,000 speeding violations recorded by school zone traffic cameras. And some drivers were even going over 60 miles per hour. According to Channel 3, $100 citations will be issued for anyone speeding 11 miles over the limit starting Wednesday. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you for that report, Austin. Two high school students from Kissimmee are now recovering. A third may lose sight in one eye. This is after a shooting that happened over the weekend. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd says that those kids were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
My first message is to parents, start being parents. When the prom's over, tell the kids to come home.
Judd says the teens were part of a crowd that had moved to a short-term rental after two high school proms in Orange County let out. He said there were three shooters who fired off more than 30 rounds. So far, nobody's identified the shooters, but detectives are working on that. And, mark down another one on the tally for Graffiti Bridge yesterday, seeing a box truck wedged itself under the bridge. It got stuck and ripped the roof off. And then the box truck, apparently, while it was stuck, got rear-ended by another pickup truck as well. The officials do say that truck was towed off. The Penske truck was pulled out from underneath the trestle later on as well. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got our traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free right now, not seeing any delays on I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And cloudy skies right now, 66 degrees. Let's get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a small chance of rain today, 30% overall, with a high near 81 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Rain chances increasing as you go into early Wednesday morning, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 79 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. 80% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 78 and a low near 68 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Your next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as investors keenly awaited the Federal Reserve's first interest rate policy meeting since President Trump's reciprocal tariffs went into effect in April. The 10-year Treasury yield rose one basis point to 4.353%. Shares of Hugo Boss climbed 8% after posting a lower-than-feared decline in first-quarter sales and reiterated its full-year guidance despite macroeconomic and tariff uncertainty. The high-end German retailer said revenues fell 2% to just over $1.1 billion. Hims & Hers shares fell in extended trading after the company reported first-quarter earnings that offered soft guidance. For its second quarter, Hims & Hers said it expected to report revenue between $530 and $550 million. That is short of the nearly $565 million expected by Street Account. Futures are moderately lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 98, the NASDAQ down 133. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's I-Z-E-R-V-A-Y.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
It's always Sonny's here. This is Eldon with Sonny's Barbecue. When you're ready for slow smoke barbecue prepared by local pitmasters since 1960, Sonny's. Visit us at four convenient locations in the News Radio area: Pine Forest, Navy Boulevard, 9th Avenue, and in Pace on Highway 90. With $10 big deals and all-you-can-eat ribs for only $19.99 every day. Kids eat free every Saturday, and don't forget that good old banana pudding. All served with a heaping portion of Southern hospitality. Open daily at 10:45. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us this Wednesday at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us this Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 640 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Joining us by phone, we have Brad Baker. He is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Every time we have a committee meeting on Monday, we like to have Brad on to give us a little recap of what's going on in the county or what's going to go on Thursday after they actually vote. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you. Hey, before we get to yesterday's meeting, something did happen yesterday in Santa Rosa County that maybe didn't quite get everybody's attention, but I'm sure some people, particularly those who build homes, may have noticed, which is we have all of a sudden impact fees are in place. Is that right?
That is correct. That started, went into effect yesterday. The board voted on it several months back, and of course you have to have a advertisement time frame to notify everyone, and that was the date we set to meet that statutory requirements. And yeah, we started collecting those yesterday for anybody who pulling a building permit.
And now this is, remind me where it landed, because I remember, sometimes I can remember the conversation and the discussion. I don't remember what the end result was there. This is still, is it still by type of property? Is it by property value? What were the categories that changed what you paid for in terms of an impact fee?
Yeah, it's for any new construction, mm-hmm, or a significant remodel that you're adding capacity, and it is for commercial as well. I can't remember the exact rates on the commercial, but the residential is just over $1,600. I think it's $1,636.
Okay.
And that has to align with our capital improvement plan, and then we have to utilize those funds to do capacity improvement projects. You know, that could be intersection improvements, turn lanes, obviously adding lanes or width on roads, etc.
And that's, again, specifically for transportation and specifically for new construction, commercial and residential, and that started today. Very good. So something, I'm sure the developers are aware. The ordinary citizens may or may not be aware just yet, and that's why I wanted to make sure that people did know that was happening. You guys just continue to do economic development. I know that industrial park right off of 87 by I-10, I took a drive through there the other day, and I mean, it's just an enormous number of things are going on in there. before we get into the new ones, just for a quick refresher, what are the things that are already going in there that everybody knows about that are sort of like the brand name projects?
Yes, so you have the biggest building out there that's under construction right now is Buffalo Rock. And then you have Hershey's Ice Cream. Their distribution is out there. Danon's Ice Cream. The new one that they just broke ground on, I can't remember the parent company's name, but it's basically Nabisco Products.
Okay.
And, Lavelle is our a medical service provider. They provide a lot of medical equipment for the VA contract and stuff like that. Their distribution is out there, primarily distribution in that new area. And, of course, if you go just north of there, northeast of there, you've got the new infrastructure going in, which is where our wastewater treatment facility is going to land. And then we've already got some really commitments and some big clients coming in there, which haven't been named yet and solidified everything. But, yeah, lots of exciting growth coming to that area. Then we've got the other one over off of Garson Point that we're investing in just south of the Stuckey's there. A distribution facility is looking to come in there. You got the Amazon place up in the other industrial park.
That's the one on Highway 90, right? The longstanding
Highway
one?
Highway 90, yeah. Yep. Gulf Cable's continuing to invest in our community and looking to expand. So, I mean, there's just a lot of economic activity going on, which is a good thing. You know, all of these, especially these Triumph fundings, they're committing to bringing X number of jobs in at a typically 115% or more of our average wage in the area. So that's a good thing, bringing jobs for our kids and our grandkids to be able to get here in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, Shannon Ogletree, who is your director of economic development, has been doing an okay job. It's all right.
Brad,
hang on for just a second because I want to. Brad, let me pause you for just a second. We'll come back because I want to keep talking about this a little bit. But John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Seeing some minor delays on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. You wanted to say something about Shannon Ogletree. I wanted to also mention that you have a Project Turbo, Project Tungsten. These are undisclosed as yet what they are exactly. There's some kind of a medical facility or something maybe coming in. There's a lot of even future stuff. And I know Shannon loves the names and always comes up with interesting ones. But you were going to say something when I kind of interrupted you with traffic.
Well, we talk about, doing things before it's needed and, planning ahead and all that, which, by the way, we can also talk. We are doing a District 2 master plan, which includes all that area that our industrial parks are in. But, someone was asking me at the groundbreaking the other day, like, hey, this property stayed vacant so long. Wasn't this a controversial property the board engaged in, several decades ago? And, yes, that's right. I mean, economic development takes time. It takes investment. We were able to put all the infrastructure into those parks and get them certified and through FPL or Gulf Power at the time. And that makes these people want to come here. Obviously, our location being right on I-10 is very helpful. But this was property the board bought, I don't remember the exact year, many years ago with a lot of controversy. But now it's paying off for the county.
And speaking of that, you kind of mentioned that some of this stuff has to do with the wastewater treatment plant that you guys are building. The board also, in the special zoning meeting a week and a half ago, approved Milton for a conditional use to proceed with their wastewater treatment plant. But you guys are already, giving sort of somewhat permission of wastewater capacity to other facilities, like the medical facility one that's coming, right? That still is not publicly disclosed yet, but in that zone of activity, right?
That's correct, and we have some capacity that we had negotiated a deal with the city of Milton on the current plan. As everybody knows, it's that capacity. Well, we have some that has been saved for economic growth. So, this group of folks that are looking to bring some medical facilities out to East Milton, ask for that capacity because it's a little bit further north than what we're looking to get capacity on our plant that is, we're in the early phases, but looking to have that online by the end of 26 or the first quarter of 27 at the latest. So
that's pretty fast.
We needed
okay.
to give capacity. Yeah, we needed to give capacity on that we had allocated for economic growth. So that was a board action yesterday. And it is pretty fast, but now it's not the same plant that the city of Milton plans to
right.
build. You know, they're going to build one that's up to 8 million. We're looking at the ability to go to 1 million and considering what it would look to go to 2 million. But the first phase of that is a 500,000 gallons a day, which we think will serve all our economic growth plus some residential growth in that District 2 area, and we'll factor all that into the master plan that we've got going on right now.
Very good. And for people who may not be familiar, you know, when you hear him say limits or capacity, you know, if you cannot provide sewer for a building or for a business, they can't build. And we're like really managing the capacity of the sewer wastewater treatment plants in order to make it possible. And that's why we have to be expanding on both of those, both the one the county is doing and the one that the city is at least, you know, saying that they're intending to do. Hey, last quick thing for you, Brad. I saw a note that had to do with the Navarre Beach Causeway having reduced lanes, restricted lanes, something or other. Is this in connection with the toll plaza thing, or is this in connection with doing the repairs and rehabilitation of the bridge, or is this something completely unrelated to either of those?
It's the repair and rehab of the bridge. It's the fender system, the seawall stabilization. We're doing some different parts of the seawall stabilizing and then kind of doing a new seawall on the other parts that are a little older and starting to fall in. It's really come from damage from Sally, but it's really been over the years. It's just time to replace that.
Okay. And that, so there are going to be intermittent lane restrictions on Navarre Causeway for what, weeks, months? What are we looking at?
Yeah, I would say for weeks and see how the project goes.
Okay.
We talked another one on East Spencerfield Road. That's a repaving, resurfacing. So we should be done with it fairly shortly, but we did start that at the end of last week. And now it'll be some intermittent one lane movement of traffic for that, finish that project.
Very good. Brad Baker, he is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the information. Thanks for sharing it with us after we have the committee meeting. If anybody wants to protest or wants to ask more questions, Thursday is the voting meeting. You can show up to that. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care.
You bet. 651 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of that whole infrastructure question, you know, a lot of times, like, you don't buy houses very often, right? I mean, a few times in your life you're going to do it. It's hard to think of all the things you need to think of. It's hard to remember all the things that you need to think of. And, of course, when you buy a home and something doesn't turn out to be right in terms of, like, the location, let's say, and you're like, oh, I'm going to remember that the next time. And then, you know, it's 10 years and you don't. That's how it works. So that's why, at least in part, that's why you want a good real estate agent, because a very capable real estate agent will help you think about all of this stuff, like access to schools or access to, you know, what's the flood risk in that area, or, you know, what's the traffic going to be like, and, you know, at different times of day, and what's the development going to happen in that area. Just all of that stuff is stuff that you, as a kind of an amateur when it comes to buying homes, you want a professional to help you with. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just great at this. They sell a lot of homes. They think about these things all the time, and they can help you not just get your questions answered, but help you ask better questions so that, you know, when you do wind up buying that home or sell, either way, you get a better outcome afterwards that, you know, you don't think, well, why didn't somebody make me think of that? Well, they will. But that's why you need a good realtor to help you think about that stuff. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Be sure to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Astronauts. They'll be rocking the Gulfside Pavilion at Bands on the Beach with their high-energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Bands on the Beach happening this Tuesday night at 7 with the Astronauts.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Toast of the Coast, Sushi Rolling Class, Mother's Day, the Craft Beer Festival, and Jackson's Spring Menu, all tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Yo, Chama! I've got your picture. I've got your picture. I'd like a million of your aura myself. I want a doctor to take a picture so I can look at you from inside as well. You got me turning up and turning down. I'm turning in, I'm turning right, I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
Good morning, 6:55 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right, I do. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now, but we are starting to see some delays on W Street, and Beverly is backing up from road work, so be aware of that. Also, 98 eastbound starting to back up just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, and about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, a time is running out to get a real ID if you don't have one and you want to get on board a plane. The Trump administration says all states need to comply by tomorrow's deadline. Real ID, of course, is the gold star on the driver's license. It'll be needed, again, for any domestic flight and also to get on board NAS Pensacola.
That's
starting tomorrow.
That's the key, yes. Visitors will not be able to get into the gates starting tomorrow. I mean, this is starting tomorrow. And that's, everybody who lives in Florida has a real ID already because you've got Florida ID. But if somebody's visiting you from out of town this weekend and you try to go to the base or come in the week and go to watch the Blue Angels practices, and
right.
Well, no. I kind of wish somebody would have thought ahead a little bit, because apparently not every state has a star. I wish we'd had like a gold dolphin or something, right. You know, a gold sea turtle. I mean, I don't know, just something different than a gold star, but okay, fine.
Well, and apparently on this too, there's a lot of states where people are, you know, in a rush to try to get this real ID. Mm-hmm. And now there's appointments being booked out months, you know, months.
The
long
delays it's causing.
Such, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. And people who travel, you know, and it's, so let's say you have a real ID, but you're traveling this week and you're flying back from, New York City or L.A. or Denver or whatever. Okay, you're good, but all the other people who don't realize this is an issue are going to be clogging up the system at the airport for
20 people ahead of you in the TSA checkpoint line.
Yesterday everybody was tap and swiping their credit cards, and today everybody's writing checks. You know, that's what it's going to be like at a lot of the airports, I would imagine. And maybe here a little bit too. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Jennifer Aniston apparently having to do some cleanup after somebody crashed into the front gates of her home in Bel Air, California. That man was taken into custody. She was home at the time of the incident, but apparently there was not much of an incident other than the gates being damaged.
Not much of a tip on that DoorDash. Go on.
And Rihanna is pregnant again. The singer revealed her baby bump last night at the Met Gala in New York City. She was there with the father, rapper. And I'm not big in the rap scene. Is it ASAP Rocky?
That's
or
right. That's okay. Right. It's not $A App Rocky. It's ASAP Rocky. That's right.
Okay. So, yeah, she was there with apparently he's the child's father, and he was there with her.
And by the way, if you're a 1 on a 1 to 10 scale in terms of, you know, current hip-hop culture knowledge, I mean, I'm a two. So, like, you know, I just know just that little bit more. I happen to know that one. But that's, you know, test me and I'm out. So I don't want to pretend to be. I don't want front.
Pretend you're already miles ahead of me. I'll tell you that.
That's right. You poser. When was the last time somebody got called a poser? Oh, that's skater talk from back in the day. All right.
1997. Yeah,
we need to bring it back.
Yeah. No, it's a good phrase. It really is.
We need to bring it back.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Speaking of, just a small weird note, but I should have asked Brad about this. The you mentioned a car running into the house, and did you see the story that yesterday we had a semi truck crashing into in Milton off Garson Point Road, crashing into the woods? Basically, it's the woods that go over to that, like, people don't know it exists, subdivision, Ski Watch Estates, right off of I-10, and there's a sign there that says no turnaround for semis, but you know, maybe it's at night. Maybe they can't see. That looks like an on-ramp. Because it does. It looks like the bend of an on-ramp is kind of how it looks. But that is a cool subdivision. Have you ever been back in there, John? Do you know about this place?
Oh, yes,
it's,
I have.
It's a subdivision where they built four water ski lakes. Like these long lane-looking lakes that are connected at the top. And it's for people who have power boats and practice water skiing. And it's the coolest place. We biked back there one time, and it's a wild thing. Who does this? But they're out. People are out there practicing water skiing all the time. They have tournaments and all kinds of stuff. It's just a really, really cool subdivision built around that one lifestyle. Like, you have subdivisions built around private airports. Ski Watch is built around, you know, water skiing lakes.